I don't have the boom mic tonight, so I'm going to have to pull a little Michael Jackson up here, okay? All right. Well, it is a busy night here at Vine Street. We've got a guest singer downstairs for the youth, and I know they're excited, but they don't know that he was going to be here. I didn't know until 2 days ago, but it was a great opportunity to bring him in and let him witness to our youth and share his testimony with them and also sing songs of praise and of godly things to them as well. So I know they're going to appreciate it once they hear him. Tonight we're talking about the second coming of Christ. What a better topic, right? End of all your pain, all your fears, all your tears, everything. Man, what a great day that is. But before we do that, I want to make the statement, the holidays are just around the corner. Everybody's like, what? We just got out of the cold, right? Yeah. Well, think of it. I mean, literally, the holidays are just around the corner, though. But tonight, what I want to specifically use that for is to think about what happens during the holidays, that Friday after Thanksgiving, that Monday after the Friday after Thanksgiving, when everything is abuzz with, oh, what am I going to buy for Christmas? And you see people on the evening news who've camped out for days just to get their hands on the latest iPad or iPhone or computer or flat screen TV. This year there's a new Samsung flat screen that's curved. Really nice, looks really nice on the commercials, but I'm not going to spend 3 or 4 days waiting in line for one on sale at Best Buy. That's right. And so these people, they spend their time and their money. We all spend our time and our money on things that we don't necessarily need. But particularly at Christmas time, we build up all this anticipation because the way they market products is they create a need in our minds. We need that iPhone. We need that iPad. We need that new car. We need that remote control car for the kiddos. We need that remote control plane or that new action figure or whatever it may be. They create this false need that we need something, and in doing that, they build up our anticipation, and they build it up, and then finally when we get it, we think it's going to be the fulfillment of our lives, and then we want the next big thing. And so they prey on us because they know how to manipulate us. And they know that we are never going to be filled and satisfied. And so they make money, tons and millions and billions and trillions of dollars off of our desires and our wants. Well, tonight, I just want to encourage you with the fact that even though the holidays are right around the corner, so is the second coming of Jesus Christ. We have something to look forward to that is fully fulfilling. That is the ultimate desire of everything we are as Christians, and that is Christ's coming. And so tonight we're going to look at several different Bible verses, so I'll go slow so you can follow along with me. But first verse is coming out of Matthew 24, verse 44. Matthew 24, 44. Tonight we must be ready for what the world does not expect. These are the words of the Gospel of Matthew. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Now, we all know the illustration of the thief coming in the night. That's well played throughout the New Testament, throughout Revelation. But think about that for a second. If you know a thief is coming into your home, what are you going to do about it? You're going to load your gun. You're going to sit there waiting for them. You're going to notify the police. You're going to put up security cameras so you can catch them. You're going to protect yourself and your belongings, are you not? You're not going to be that ill-informed person who, oh my gosh, somebody robbed me. Because you know. And what Matthew is saying here is that don't be like all those other people who don't know that Jesus is coming back, because I'm telling you. I'm telling you that just the same way that he went up into heaven, he's coming back down. And when that happens, everything is going to be made right. Everything that was wrong will be made right. Every person will be judged. For the Christian, we'll be judged based on the good that we do. For the unbeliever, they'll be judged based on the sin that they do. And so as Christians, we don't have to be that person who's not informed that Jesus Christ is coming. And the Bible's specifically telling us, be ready. How do we make ourselves ready? Well, one, we stay in the Scriptures. We stay in the Scriptures, and we stay with this bond with Christ and with the Spirit indwelling in our hearts, that we stay in that constant communion with Him. That when things happen, we're not caught off guard. When a Christian is persecuted in the Middle East, there's an Iranian pastor, there's a Christian pastor in Iran right now. His family just reported that he's been in custody over there for breaking their laws because they don't allow Christianity. But he was taken to the hospital for treatment, and he was beaten in the hospital. Does that hurt us as a body of believers? Absolutely. But are we supposed to just think that that's not to be expected? No. Christ says, take up your cross and follow me. And taking up your cross involves knowing that persecution and sufferings are going to come into our lives. So we must be ready. We must not be caught off guard. Because the ones who are caught off guard are those people who are sleeping at night, who never expected the robber to come, who left their back door wide open or their window open just enough so a person could cut through the screen and sneak in unalarmed. Be ready. And we're ready because we know God's word and what God has promised us. The second thing tonight is coming out of Acts chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. So just as we must be ready for what the world does not expect, because the world does not expect, nor do they want Jesus Christ to return, because when that happens, they will know they are wrong. Their guilt will be on display before everyone. Satan the accuser will accuse them before God, and God will say, depart from me, you evildoer, for I never knew you. They don't want Christianity to be right. But tonight, we also have to expect that Christ will return just the same way that he left us the first time. Acts 1, 9 through 11 says, and when he had said these things, this is Jesus, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Well, the Bible tells us how he's going to come back, right? Revelation gives us a pretty cool illustration of what's going to happen on that day when he comes back and he's riding that white stallion and the sword comes from his mouth and his enemies are destroyed. That is awesome imagery. Awesome imagery. But this whole idea of Christ ascending into the cloud and then descending from the cloud just as he went, think back to Old Testament. How did God appear at Sinai? In a cloud. The God who was not to be seen, not to be revealed to man, now revealed to man. And as Christ is that revelation and taken back up to be with the Father, on that day when he comes, he will be re-revealed to man, and all will be over. And that is something, brothers and sisters, I look forward to. It is hard getting up on a daily basis, not knowing where your paycheck's going to come from, how your health's going to do for you that day, where your car payment's going to come from. It's hard. Life is hard. Being worried about your son or daughters or driving to and fro. Being worried about yourself as you're sitting in your home. Maybe you live in a hard part of town where you don't know if you're going to get robbed. You don't know if that thief's coming or not. Life is hard. But God, in his revealed word, gives us these promises. Think about it for a second. We were promised in the Old Testament, and all the way back in Genesis, in 3:15, Satan was told that the seed of the woman was going to crush the head of the serpent. Isaiah prophecies are fulfilled when Mary, the virgin, is given birth to Christ. So those prophecies were fulfilled. They were true. And now we have this prophecy that's yet to be fulfilled. That just in the same way he went, he is coming again. Folks, if you believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, how can you not believe that he's not coming back? He's coming back. We don't know when, and that's not for us to know when. But we know that he's coming back because the Bible tells us so, and we can trust that. Third, comes out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 through 18. And we've been going through this. The next two sections of scriptures come out of 1 Thessalonians. And we've already been through them on Sunday mornings, so this is going to be kind of a refresher course for you real quickly. But this first section in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18, we need to be encouraged because the dead and the living in Christ will be with him forever. These are the words of Paul to the church at Thessalonica. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You see, the folks at the church in Thessalonica, they were worried about the folks who believed in Jesus but had already died before Christ had come back. They were worried about themselves. All right, if I die, even though I believe Christ, what happens to my body? What happens to my soul? They didn't fully understand. And so Paul comes back and says, look, quit worrying about that. You don't need to worry about that because God has promised that you shall live forever in Christ. And he says, encourage one another with these words. So tonight, I encourage you as Paul encouraged those at Thessalonica. If you are in Christ, we have the greatest fulfillment of any type of possible desire we could ever have in this life. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We could all die right now and our bodies be put 6 feet under the ground. But what does Paul say? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. It is going to happen. So I ask you tonight, do you trust that? Do you trust that the Bible that has told us all the way from the beginning of Genesis that God loved us so much, he was going to give his only son through the one who first sinned. And that seed was going to come and destroy the serpent. Do you believe that? Because it's necessary that you do. Absolutely necessary. When in our lives, all the constant pain and sorrow and frustration and anger and all those emotions that we feel for whatever reason, they can really cloud up our reasoning and our judgment. And it's in those times where we start to doubt and we start to fear and we start to just have this great uncertainty building up inside of us. And that's when we need to be asking ourselves, do I really believe what the Bible tells me? Because if I do and I say yes, then the way I respond to those feelings and those actions are completely different than how an unbeliever responds to those feelings and actions. Because they have no way to truly respond to them. They are destined for their destruction. And they don't even know it. They don't even want to recognize it. But praise be to God. If you're in Christ tonight, we know what's going to happen. And we know that Christ is coming again. So be encouraged by those words. Folks that have gone on before you that you miss dearly, if they're in Christ, God is going to raise them from the dead. If Christ were to come back right now and you're in Christ, you're not going to die. You're going to go be with Christ. Either way, we win. And it has nothing to do with us. It's all because of a God who loves us so much for his own glory. Not for our glory, not for John's glory, not for my glory, not for Brenda's glory, but for his glory, he gave us Jesus Christ to save us. And fourth, and this one goes back to the first one, that we must be ready for what the world does not expect. Fourth one comes out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, first 6 verses. We must be alert, we must be sober-minded, we must be ready for the King. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Be sober minded. You know, when in my generation, and probably in yours as well, the word sober is associated with the opposite of intoxicated or influenced by drugs. And I really think that's exactly the kind of imagery that's being brought to mind here. Because they had the same problems back then. They had drugs, they had alcohol, they had ways to intoxicate themselves and get their minds off of the world and off of themselves and go into this state of ecstasy. And God, Paul's saying to these people in Thessalonica, be sober-minded. Be alert. Be ready. And why? Because you know. Because you believe what I've told you through the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know. Therefore, I don't have to tell you what's going to happen. You know. I ask you tonight, what are some things in your life that are keeping you from being sober-minded? Keeping you from thinking about those eternal things? Because think about how much more enjoyable your life is when you think of things of heaven, when you think of God and His mercy that He's had on your life versus your boss at work or maybe the trouble your kids are in right now, whatever it may be. There is so much mercy and grace just thinking about God and His infinite mercy. You know, if you are in Christ tonight, you know that Jesus Christ is coming back. And so I encourage you, brother. I encourage you, sister. Be ready. Be sober-minded. Be encouraged in the fact that it's going to happen. And when it does, oh, it will be the grandest thing you have ever witnessed in this life or the next. I want to read to you real quick from the very last chapter of Revelation, Revelation 22. Starting in verse 6. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of this prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil. Let the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Let us pray. Father, tonight I just pray that your Spirit just testifies to our hearts again of just how truthful and honest your words in this scripture is, Lord. God, may we know fully that your promise of coming back for us, not leaving us in this pit of sin and despair, but coming back for us and making us new for all of eternity, honest and true, God. God, may we constantly think of this. May we constantly be brought back to this reminder that life is not just about where we're living right now, but where we're going. And that is to be with you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your glory, and your righteousness, and your justice. And we thank you for loving us through Jesus Christ. In these things we pray.